The following episode may contain explicit language. Listener discretion is advised. Today's show is sponsored by Lakehouse Coffee and the Atlanta Coffee Supply Group, Atlanta's premium full-service distributor of hand-roasted coffee, premium iced tea, brewing equipment, and supplies for the hospitality and food service industry. Featuring proprietary brands like Lakehouse Coffee and Blue Durango Iced Tea. I've been drinking Lakehouse Coffee every morning and loving it. You know me, I don't bullshit, I wouldn't say stuff like that if I didn't like it. You may already be enjoying their brands of coffee and tea at Atlanta restaurants like Wahoo, South City Kitchen, Gusto, Dantana's, and many more. If you're a proprietor or decision maker in the restaurant or food service industry, reach out to these guys and start carrying these brands. If your favorite spot doesn't carry Lakehouse Coffee or Blue Durango Iced Tea, get on it and tell them the Atlanta Podcast sent you. Go to lakehousecoffee.com to check out all the restaurants they're currently being served at and learn more about them. That's lakehousecoffee.com.
Coming to you live from the outdoor studio in Atlanta, Georgia, front porch. It's the Atlanta Podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis, who you're hearing in the background, other than a weed whacker, is my son, River Davis. Use your towel, buddy. He's sweaty. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a minute. Let's not get into excuses. Let's just get into the content. And on today's program is Nick Karse, one of the founders of the King of Pops. Now, oftentimes in this program, I say, you know, I thought of this guy when I launched this show, and, well, this is no exception. We actually go through my little list of people, easily one of the first 4 to 5 names I thought of when I thought the Atlanta Podcast. I went to their new headquarters, I tried flavors of things, it was very fun, and I don't know what else to tell you other than let's get to it. Nick Karse and I, King of Pops, away we go.
Hello, King of Pops here.
King of Pops. Okay, now I'm going to get to where I think I met you, and it will be hilarious or uncomfortable or both.
Hopefully both. I'm more into the uncomfortable part, though.
So, at the end of 2013, beginning of 2014, I was kind of between businesses, and I was driving for Lyft and Uber.
Right.
And I got in the car. Three people got in my car. And
this ought to be great.
I don't even know how it came up, but it came up that one or all of you were the King of Pops.
Oh, wow.
Because you have a brother.
Did you believe it?
Well, that's the thing is that, like, I was hoping, like, oh, is it going to jump out of me when I see this guy? So it's late at night anyway.
That's that local celebrity thing, huh?
It's late at night, and I think we went to, church, and, I said, are you the King of Pops? And one of the people said, no, he's the Prince of Pops. Mm. Does that sound like something you or anybody would say?
It sounds like something a lot of people would say, whether it was me at the time.
So you think people go around town saying this?
Well, what I think, so we had this guy, Neil Ringer, who was with us. He was our very first employee.
Right.
And I think that his friends and his group often called him the Prince of Pops. But then also, like, guys or people that knew Steve better than knew me, then I would always be the Prince of Pops because Steve really started the business and I joined in a couple months later. And so maybe that's where the princeliness came from. Right. So it could have been me. I'm not saying. I don't remember 2013 all that well, to be honest with you.
Well, neither do I. I mean, a lot of people got in my car, right?
Right.
Doing the Lyft and Uber thing. But it seemed I believed them. It didn't seem like it seemed like you were joking around with each other. I think because, like, it shows your picture and maybe the picture was a King of Pops logo.
We're quite a believable group. So, you know, I would say that if you felt good about it, felt that it was the truth, then it probably was. And it was me, perhaps. Church sounds about right. Grant and Steve and I have all been friends for a long time.
Yeah, so. Well, I finally got him on the docket as well.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
So you should awesome know, guy. I'm just checking the volumes on this thing. You should know you have been on the short list since I started this show.
Amazing.
When
welcome.
I started
thank
the,
you.
When I started the Atlanta Podcast and I banged out a bunch of names, right? Like, you can look at it. It's like,
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the official document just to make sure.
Well, so I think it's a note in my, it's like, you know, who do I want to get?
Right.
It's like, I want to get like Arthur Blank.
Sure.
Right. I want to get the mayor.
Yeah.
I want to get the King of Pops.
Right below those two, I'm sure.
Right? I mean, that's really...
Number three.
No, you know who actually was on the... That I got almost right away was, you know, Ryan Gravel?
I do. Yeah,
so so he was at the top of the list, and I got him on like my second or third show. And people actually really liked that episode because we kind of have a good little back and forth. Like, I didn't think I was being that, like, combative necessarily, but apparently, like...
He thought so.
Well, it just... we argued a little bit. It was good. It was like healthy discourse
That's what makes good podcasts. What makes good drama? What makes good television, film?
Right.
Any sort of, I guess, art or entertainment.
Right.
You have some good and bad. And
right. You got to hold this a little bit closer.
Highs and lows.
No, it was totally, but no, because you're an Atlanta success story. Yes.
Well, I think so. I hope so. I mean, it's going well so far. We're 8 years in. We just celebrated our 8th birthday on April 1st. So that's something that if you would have asked me 4 years ago, 6 years ago, any of those numbers of years ago, that I wouldn't have known if we would have made it here. But now I feel like we can go and do whatever we want. So I think that's pretty awesome. I do think it's amazing that one of the first things people often take their friends or their grandma or their kids too, when they come to Atlanta, is a King of Pop stand. They are proud of us in that way. And so whether they show up at the window in Inman Park or any of our carts out at farmers markets or festivals or whatever, like everyone always really wants to introduce their out of town friends to our product and our brand. So, I mean, I think we are lucky to be in the place we are, but at the same time have hustled our asses off to get here.
Yeah, I'm having a little bit, I just want to change one thing on this because it's not, I don't know if this is...
Do I need to hold this closer to my face?
No, you are holding it totally close. Hang on.
Just checking it out. Making them 1-2-1-2.
Yeah, it should be fine. I can always increase the gain later. I think there's a setting in here I got to mess with. But
mix master.
I am the least technical savvy person ever.
Ever?
Not ever, but certainly... Like, at this many years in, like, I've been doing this... I've been podcasting for 6 years. I just started this Atlanta one less than a year ago.
Yeah. How's it going?
I think pretty good.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, one of the things that I thought would happen if I did it right was that either Creative Loafing or AJC or somebody would be like, hey, nobody's really doing this show. We should pick it up. And sure enough, Creative Loafing did give me a call, and I'm sure you know Nick, right?
I do.
But sadly, they are...
No go?
Like, they asked me to come on board, and I came on board and was like, wow, you're even more technologically behind the curve than I thought you were.
So we, my brother and I taught my mom this acronym. This might help you in your technical unsavviness.
Right.
It's RATS. So what that stands for is read all the screen. And so she calls like at, you know, 10 or... midnight or whatever, and says, I can't figure out this blah 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 in Gmail. And mom, remember RATS, read all the screen. And then she finds a button that says whatever she needs to figure out. So just look around. Technology is really great.
So you're saying that like you're missing that thing?
Perhaps. I don't know what the technological issues are you're talking about necessarily, but I just know she can barely turn the computer on and off.
No, I'm saying that I don't want to throw them under the bus too much, but I'm saying that they are technologically behind.
Oh, they are. I thought you were talking about you were.
No.
Compared to him. Gotcha. That makes a lot more sense.
No.
I was like, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I knew their website was not the best. But anyway, 2 weeks after I got there, they fired Nick and everybody else. And I was like, you know what?
Big shakeup.
Since nobody here is really championing this for me and nobody's probably going to sell advertising for it, I'll just go back to what I was doing.
Yeah.
So when you asked me how it's...
I'm good here.
So when you asked me how it was going, it's like immediately one of my goals kind of happened. And then so anyhow, the goal is to eventually grow it and just be able to do more podcasts and add some video content and sell advertising against it and or live off Patreon, whatever. But I have another business that I built similarly about obstacle racing. Do you know what obstacle racing is?
Like Tough Mudder and that kind of stuff?
Exactly like Tough Mudder. So I somehow positioned myself as
the guy.
The king of Tough Mudder. And that's how I make my living, believe it or not. And I liked doing this stuff so much, the podcast piece and talking to people and writing and making videos and all that so much that I go, well, I want to do something here because like I live here.
Yeah. And this makes more sense for me. It's what I know, what I care about.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure you know the obstacle courses. How do you phrase it?
It's called OCR, Obstacle Course Racing.
Obstacle Course Racing, yeah. So I'm sure you know that world very well too, but this is the world that you're in every day.
Well,
so
it's the world that...
A different.
Yeah, and I just thought, well... And again, like nobody was really doing it. Like I even Googled Atlanta podcast and couldn't believe it wasn't taken.
Right.
And turns out there are a ton of Atlanta podcasts, but they're either nerd culture or the soccer team or
right.
Nobody's doing kind of like the sort of
the
like
broad stroke.
The, yeah. Like here's cool people in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, there's a lot of them around.
I mean, I think so too.
It's been amazing.
I am schwitzing in this office though, dude. This is ironic. I'm in the King of Pop's office and I'm sweating.
Let me get, you may turn some AC down.
Can I just grab a water maybe too?
Water.
Or a soda?
Hold on.
So you grew up where?
I grew up in Snellville, Georgia.
Okay.
Stone Mountain.
Okay.
Out there.
Where'd you go to high school?
Went to Shiloh High.
I don't even know what that is.
The Generals, Shiloh Generals. So just off of 78.
Okay.
It's like major suburbia.
Right.
So if you can think of anything suburban, then that's what Snellville is.
That's where I grew up. But yeah. I grew up in Marietta. I'm going to guess here. Are you the class of 1997?
Ooh, 8.
Oh, so close.
So close.
And you wanted to do what in 1998 when you graduated from high school?
That's a great question. I really do not remember. I don't know what... my aim was at that time. So I only applied to 2 schools. I think I kind of just had a bad attitude about whatever the rest of my adult life was at that point. Like, smart enough to make good grades in high school, got into Georgia and Georgia Tech, the only 2 schools I applied to. So I was thinking about going to Tech, becoming an electrical engineer, and went down there. And I remember I did this Connect with Tech, like 2-day program, and stayed at a frat house and went to like a Calc 6 class. Couldn't understand anything the teacher was saying, and I was like, I have no idea what's going on here, and this is probably not for me. So my older brother, Ashley, he was up at University of Georgia and went up to Athens, had a great time, probably drank some beers and cruised around and a lot of beautiful women and a nice town. So, you know, that's where I ended up going. Didn't really check into the Calc 6 classes
too much. People don't apply to both Georgia and Georgia Tech. Usually they're very two distinct paths.
Sure. No, I would agree. I think it was with the, I believe the, what's the lottery paying for your college thing called?
Yeah, that thing.
Hope Grant. Yeah. So I think that had rolled out maybe a few years earlier, and it was the thing to do, I guess, to stay in state. And I think that's what I was kind of saying earlier, was that I didn't really know what my path was or didn't have any great aspirations at that point. Didn't apply anywhere out of state, didn't like want to go to an Ivy League or go out west or anything like that. So it was just kind of like, I guess, content in my bubble and going along my path in life. So that changed at some point.
Did you play soccer?
I did. Played soccer and basketball.
How did I know that about you?
Yeah, you've really got it nailed in. Dialed in, rather. But yeah, Atlanta United has been great. We've been going to those games.
Oh, we'll get to the Atlanta United. We have so much ground to cover,
okay,
dude.
Before we get there. So yeah, that was high school, and ended up going to University of Georgia. Spent some time up there. It was great. Ended up graduating with an MIS, Information Systems degree. Was computer science for a while, so that is actually closer to the Georgia Tech engineering.
Right, thing. Right.
And then after that, got a job with AIG. So started my life as an insurance, I guess, helped create the rates that we pay for auto insurance.
And you looked out the window one day and said, there has got to be something more fun than this.
Yeah. So I was an analyst at AIG, like sitting in a cubicle in my job. I don't remember what the actual job description was, but I was basically going through databases and finding correlations as related to risk patterns and everything like this.
Dude, I'm getting erect just hearing about this.
Yeah. So I stuck around there for 3 or 4 years and then quit that to go to law school. So I went to law school at Georgia State, and the big idea there was is that I would go and do trademark and copyright and help friends that were starting websites or in the music business or artists, so kind of wanted to be on the creative side of law. Little did I know that those jobs are very few and far between. And also, when I graduated in 2008, it was not the best climate for any jobs, much less law jobs that were on the edge of being necessary. So not too necessary. So I ended up becoming a prosecutor back out in Gwinnett County in Lawrenceville.
This is hilarious. Do people know this about you? Is this like a well-known part of your story?
I try to tell it in about the three sentences that I have on our King of Pop's website.
And then, so, right.
I'm pretty sure everyone has gone to that and clicked through the entirety of it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, so when I interview people, I don't spend hours and hours because it'll just sort of dilute or whatever what I might be genuinely curious about, but usually I'll get like the basics down, right?
Sure.
So typically I would kind of at least know that part. Right. So I'm surprised I didn't bother reading that. A prosecutor in Gwinnett County.
Yeah. Prosecution in Gwinnett County. So I was doing misdemeanors. So what that means in Gwinnett County at the time, and probably still, a lot of domestic violence cases, a lot of petty theft, petty drugs, and then DUIs. Was pretty much my day-to-day. So I spent the time for about 2 years in a courtroom, 3 or 4 days a week wearing a suit, and went from that, putting people in jail, to selling popsicles. So,
but even crazy. How many years were you doing the...
Just 2 years.
And during those 2 years, what were you thinking even during those 2 years?
What was I thinking? I was thinking it was never something that I was passionate about. Criminal law is not like something that I think there's good and bad on both sides of it, the prosecution and the defense, and that's probably a really big discussion on how things are prosecuted and defended in courts of law. But I wasn't generally interested in it. I didn't get passionate about it. I didn't get overly prepared even for my cases. I think it was just like something to do, a great learning experience. But I do really think what I am thankful for the experience is that it helped me develop as a person. So becoming more comfortable with myself, more comfortable with public speaking, getting up and doing that every day and like making your opinions known and heard. I think that was nice. And that
so
was
you good. weren't someone who was comfortable doing that?
No, not at all. So growing up, fairly shy, probably didn't really date women or ask them out until end of college or something like that on a comfortable basis.
Right. But you are tall and play sports, and I feel like those sort of thrust you into that thing a little bit.
I don't play sports that well. So you asked if I played soccer. I did play it. I wouldn't say that I was on...
You didn't excel.
Didn't excel at it. Wasn't on like the varsity team
but anybody
or anything
who's,
like that.
Anybody who's under 6 foot, like myself, right?
Right.
I am the slightly taller than average 5'10 and a half male, right?
Sure. You got it. Right. You got it all. World is your oyster.
But for any of us that we're like, we all wish we were the guy who was, I'm guessing you're 6'3"?
Yeah, 6'3".
Right?
6'4", some people say.
Right. But we feel like, oh, well, dude, like people just look up to you, like physically. It's like a nature thing.
At least physically, you know. If you want to make eye contact, that is
But I'm saying that usually forces you to be confident in yeah. some way.
I don't
did
know.
Not, didn't for you.
It didn't for me. And I think that... I don't know why or why not. I mean, I didn't feel like I was left out or forgotten or anything. I mean, we can talk about this too. I am the middle child, so maybe I did feel forgotten in some undertones.
Are your siblings tall?
Yeah, we're all the same height.
Are you, what are you, Swedish? What's your descent?
Well, it's interesting you ask. I got my parents the genetic DNA.
23andMe or whatever?
Yeah, so I got them that for Christmas. And we do have a very small amount of Scandinavian. I think about 8 or 12%, something like that.
And what's the rest?
But generally, it's English, Scottish, Irish, like
how,
all that.
Wait, can we break it down for a minute?
Yeah.
How do you know those people aren't just running the biggest fucking hustle in the world?
I know. This is what you are. Go have fun and tell everybody.
Right.
It's true.
Dude, it's true. Do you know that's how they caught the fucking... that's how they caught... What's his name?
Who?
The guy they just caught.
They caught the guy?
The
guy they've been looking for?
The Golden State Killer.
Oh, really? I don't know anything about that story. You got to fill me in.
Do you know anything about... Have you ever heard that phrase?
Golden State Killer. It sounds very familiar. Yeah. I did hear this the other morning on NPR or something. Yeah. So it's a guy who's like 80 now or something, right? And he committed 40 or 100 rapes and murders in California, and he was a policeman.
Okay, you know everything you need to know. You need everything you need to know.
Gotcha.
Other than...
So they found him on 23andMe? Is that what you're saying?
Here's what's amazing. You just knew everything you need to, but specifically because we have a sort of a, we are fascinated with true crime in this country. We watch a lot of those kind of TV shows. There's a lot of podcasts that are true crime based, Making a Murderer, all that stuff.
Atlanta Monster.
Yeah. Which, by the way, if you Google Atlanta podcast, you mostly get Atlanta Monster.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm not happy about that. Yeah. But the good news is that it's over time, I will replace it because that's,
it just has to.
Unless they make a new season every season, which they won't. But
there's not that many Atlanta monsters, are there?
Right, but it could be like they make another one and go, anyway, do you know?
Even deeper.
Exactly. Anyhow. Exactly. So that story's been getting, and I couldn't figure out how they caught him because like the DNA evidence is like so old and right. But now here's what they can do that they couldn't do even 10 years ago or whatever, is that, they can pull from, there's a site that pulls from all of those sites, 23andMe's and all those various sites.
That's like an FBI site or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It all feeds, and so it brings it. So now you've got like, if his 15th cousin down the line did that, they can eventually, that's what.
Let's trace it back to him.
Isn't that amazing?
If anyone like figures it out.
So if nobody did that, so not just people who get arrested or who are government employees or what other reasons to be in the system, now it's people that have voluntarily given their DNA. Because anyway, isn't that crazy?
It's nuts, yeah. I mean, you would have to think eventually that's how it's going to be linked back. Like, it doesn't surprise me. But it is pretty interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, they narrowed it down. Like, it's like, okay, well, now it's somebody in this family.
Yeah.
And then they do more and more clues.
Does it give them their, like, their tartan and those kind of, like, family crest and things along with it?
Did you get one?
No. But I wish. There is a Cars tartan, though. I have looked it up before.
So Carse is your last name.
Yeah. Carse. Cars. It's Scottish. From what research I did, my brothers and I did this when we went skiing in Utah one year. Apparently, the Mormons have the most genealogy records, and so they keep this giant vault or probably a computer now inside of a mountain in Utah with like the most genealogy records on Earth, because I guess it's for recruiting or conversion or something. But anyway, they also open it up to the public, so we did a bunch of research, and Cars, basically, we lost a battle in Scotland, and then our clan was named after the hill, which Cars means hill. It's a type of hill in Scottish, and so we had to go to France. Like, half our clan went to France, half of them went to Ireland, and so that's where we split up. And that's
have
where
you been the name to Cars. Scotland?
I have, yeah. Edinburgh.
Did you look up?
Didn't find the hill, no. I didn't know that at that point in time. So... interestingly, this is maybe too much backstory, but
there's no such thing on the Atlanta podcast.
After my first job was at AIG doing the analyst work for the auto insurance, quit that a few years in. But before I went to law school, I went and traveled for probably about 8 months on my own. So I did like South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, and then came back through Central America and met up with my brother there who was doing work in Panama, my older brother. And started law school with probably the longest hair that I've ever had, which is, it's pretty long now. And then like just the darkest tan ever. So I showed up to law school, and I remember my first class was contracts with Professor Milich, and the case was like the hairy hand case, and I'm not even sure what the point of the case was, expectation setting or something with a contract. And he called on me, and there was the Socratic method in law school for like probably 40 minutes, and I had been traveling for 8 months and like totally no idea what was going on in the real world or anything, and that was my intro to law school. That wasn't going to be the story I was going to tell you, but that was something else. But I forgot what I was going to say. So anyway,
I forgot where we were too. So you're practicing law,
yeah.
And you went into business with one of the brothers, but not both.
Correct.
Okay. So how did we get?
Yeah. I remember the point of the other story, so I'll go there and then I'll answer this question.
Totally fine.
Okay. So when I was in Australia, I met this English girl, and she was in school in Edinburgh. So then I ended up going to a semester of law school at Oxford in England, and so I could spend time over there. So I do have some connection to that island that's over there. But anyway, now back to the other question about my brothers. I work with my younger brother, Stephen. So he's my business partner, and he actually started the company April of 2010, but I don't work with my older brother, Ashley. He was kind of the inspiration for the whole business idea, but he has followed his passions, and he's a anthropology professor at Vanderbilt up in Nashville.
Okay.
Yep.
So 2010 is not even that long ago, dude.
It is and it isn't, you know. Well, if you do it every day, it seems like a long time, but I agree.
Well, I know
in
that
reality, it has passed so quickly.
Well, I moved back here. So I was in LA for a while. I moved back here in 2009. I can't do the math. My daughter's about to turn 11. Hang on.
Somewhere around there.
We moved here when she was born.
Uh-huh.
And she's about to turn 11. So 11 years ago from now is
18 minus 07.
Right, 07.
We got it.
So in 2010, it just seems so recent. And you guys are like this Atlanta institution now.
Man, it is recent. I agree. It's amazing. Like, I mean, that's what I was saying. We got full support of the community, so I don't know.
So who said, let's do popsicles?
So you want the King of Pops story?
If you're not tired of telling it, or you want to tell it in a new way or a way that we can't hear it anywhere else.
Sure. So I'll dive into that. I guess after that initial trip on the way back from Australia in Central America, we decided to go back down there again. And this time Steve met up with Ash and I as well. And so we were in Panama. He was working on Panama Canal history and research of the people and how the watershed and the ecology, like, really mattered and changed the people's lives down there. So we met up there, spent some time in Panama, spent some time moving all the way up through Central America, eating like frozen treats and drinking along the beaches, telling stories, dreaming big all along the way. This is the time where food trucks were starting to get popular in New York and
Correct.
Portland and Austin and LA and these places. And Atlanta had no such scene. And Steve and I were both here. Ash was at UNC at that point, so he wasn't in Atlanta per se. But Steve and I had been close, and I actually got him a job at AIG to replace me when I left.
Hey, I hate this sucky job. You want it?
Yeah, exactly. It's a nice, solid job. He was actually living in Idaho Falls, writing sports, high school sports out there, because he went to school and got his journalism degree.
Writing? Covering
high school sports, yeah, and writing in the newspaper in Idaho Falls, Idaho. And so that was a little bit out there for him, and he was trying to make a relationship work, so moved back and took a real job, quote-unquote, you know? So he was at that job. I was in law school at the time. The three of us met up and backpacked through Central America for about 2 months that summer, and we're in Mexico for a good portion of that. Ended up falling in love with the Mexican paletas. So on the corner, they have Michoacan. Anywhere in Mexico, you can go and find these. Or the little paletero carts. So similar to the carts we have, we actually buy those from Juarez, Mexico. These guys are...
They are authentic Mexican carts.
They're authentic. They're the real deal, man.
I'm going to inspect when this conversation is
Please
over.
Please do. And then...
They are not from some...
Take a picture.
From some Minnesota warehouse. They are authentic...
No,
Mexican
it's actually pretty hellish because at the beginning we didn't have anyone on staff and we were not very good Spanish speakers. And so to get those things across the border and through customs was actually a huge pain in the ass. You have to pay a lot of people to help you with that kind of stuff. But so anyway, spending the nights on the beach, drinking tequila or rum or whatever we were drinking at the time, talking about what we could do with our lives, still young, dreaming big and thinking about ways to make a different, I don't know, different place in the world. So the idea was to take these popsicle carts back to Atlanta and kind of get involved more in the food truck scene and kind of bring that to Atlanta. And we had heard of this place in Nashville called Las Paletas. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but they started a popsicle shop, two Mexican sisters in Nashville in about 2008 or 2007 maybe, because I think that was that summer. And so it was kind of like the new hot thing. And Ashley, our older brother, had heard about it and told us about it and checked that out. And so like, let's kind of, you know, see if that works in Atlanta, only do it a different way. It's not a brick and mortar. It's not a shop. We're going to do it out of these carts and like just drive over the streets. We had no idea what regulation there was, whether we were going to be inspected by the Department of Health, that we had to get a business license, that we had to file taxes, do any of that stuff. So it was just like an idea.
Right? Did you care at first? Or were you like, let's just roll up on the sidewalk and see what people say?
Yeah. And I, you know,
did you think like,
fortunately or unfortunately, we still do that quite a bit. We call it rogue vending. And, you know, we just show up at events that we aren't necessarily invited to, but nobody's invited to, and see what happens.
Well, do people kick you out?
Oh, yeah. We've gotten kicked out of a lot of places, gotten a lot of tickets for vending without a license over the years.
What's a ticket for vending without a license cost?
$1,600.
So what?
Yeah.
What? I thought you were going to say $50.
No, $1,600.
So if one of your slingers, so what you said you called them?
Yep, slingers.
If they're out there, if they're out there at a spot,
yeah,
and a cop writes them a ticket, are they responsible or are you responsible?
We're responsible because we're the company. Yeah.
Okay. And you assure them, of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's not a problem. The company gets the ticket.
Okay.
It goes against our business license in the city. So fortunately, though, I do think we have made a difference in the city because, you know, we're down at City Hall. We're selling pops right in front of it. And that's how much they want the city to be progressive and how much it's changed from 2010 when we started.
Where so in 2010, where did you?
We started at Buddy's. Buddy's gas station.
I was about to say, I think the first time I saw you was Buddy's.
Exactly.
So I used to live over here in Kirkwood.
Yep.
And I think around 2010.
That's probably the time.
2010 to 2014, I lived in Kirkwood.
Yeah.
And maybe 08 to 14. I don't know. Anyway, I think Buddy's. So you just approached said owner of Buddy's and said,
"Oh, so you know that little place? It's an emissions stand at Buddy's now,
right?
It's like kind of that separate building that's a glass front building. I think at the time, flower business had just gone out there,
right?
And we thought that would be like the perfect building because we wanted a brick and mortar. We wanted to copy it exactly like it was in Mexico, and then have the cart to go to, say, Music Midtown or something like that. That would be, you know, awesome if we could get into there. So that was going to be our headquarters. We were going to make the pops in there. We were going to do everything from that single space. And then the guys who owned Buddy's, just they wanted to open a pizza concept in there too. And so we were going to split the space and get it cleaned up together, and it was going to be all beautiful and great. And just none of that paperwork, none of that lease ever happened. They drug their feet. We weren't professional enough or sophisticated enough to know what the hell was going on. And so it ended up, they're like, okay, well, until we get this figured out, you guys can use your cart to set up here in the parking lot and like just see how it goes or whatever. And so that kind of became the way that we did business. So without a business plan, that became our business plan pretty quickly, to see, you know, a line 20 or 30 or 40 people long on a Saturday in a gas station parking lot to buy a popsicle. So that was just like,
so what were
completely
your first,
magical.
What were your first like flavors out of the gate?
We've always had chocolate sea salt. So that one's still the most popular one. We've had that from the very beginning. That was a recommendation from my brother's older brother's now wife. Then we had just kind of some standard stuff. We did a banana pudding pretty early on, which is still
but
a great
one. But
who was the
chef?
We were both working together. So we started off testing recipes in Dixie cups, right? So put them in Dixie cups, put them in the freezer. This is before we had popsicle equipment at all. And taking them around to kindergarten teachers to let their kids try them as testers, or to offices, and just getting any feedback we could. So we did that for probably.
Who is letting you test their food on children?
Great kindergarten teachers. I don't know.
How did you become friends with kindergarten teachers?
I think they're just friends, because at that point in your life, you know, you're 25 to 30 years old. That's like it's like a job that people have, is teaching elementary school.
I guess. But where were you? Wait a minute. I thought, didn't you work with Jake? Didn't he?
We did. Yeah. So that ended up being, after we didn't get that building, we needed a place to make the pops. And so we ended up moving into Jake's Ice Cream on Irwin Street down there. I think it was the Irwin Street Market at the time.
Right.
And rented space back there because he was making ice cream. It was always already approved by the Department of Agriculture.
Right.
And so we moved in, started making our stuff in there.
I'm not bored, by the way. That's just,
people, just yawning.
People
large.
Freak out when you yawn.
Yeah. But yeah, so we moved in there and started making our pops. They were making ice cream, elbow to elbow.
But where were you making them before then?
Just like we went and got this plate, this small machine. So you saw the machines downstairs. They can hold about 1,500 pops each, and we have two of those now.
Right.
Our first machine held 80 pops, so it held four molds. And we tested in my laundry room. So you know at your house, you have the big plug for the dryer, the 240 volt?
Yep.
That was the only place in the house it could plug into. So the first pops for King of Pops were made in the laundry room.
Before I leave, can I eat one like right off the line? Can I eat like a fresh one?
Yeah, you got to put the hairnet on.
Put the hairnet on.
The shoe covers, all that stuff. But yeah,
I don't have beard. Problem. I don't have a beard though.
Yeah, that's scruff. I don't know. Is it if it's over a quarter inch, it's considered a beard?
Are you being serious?
Yep.
Now this is one day for me.
Right.
I shaved yesterday. I almost shaved this morning.
Yeah.
And then I didn't.
Just decided not to.
And now it's going to cost me. I'm going to have to put on the beard net. But I'll do it. I'm not
maybe
ashamed.
Not. I don't know if that's a quarter.
It's up to you. It's up. Listen, that's okay. I'm easygoing. I just would like the idea of.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough,
so
I'm
fresh.
I'm not very adventurous. Mm-hmm. If I find a flavor I like, I'll just keep getting that one.
Is that the way you approach restaurants and the rest of life? Like if you go to a restaurant, you always get the burger, the enchiladas or whatever it is at that particular restaurant.
Well, interesting you should say that. You know Fred's in the market?
I do.
So love that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And since I rented an office over there, I would eat there three times a week.
Wow.
And I would have
Is that
to
healthy?
And I would no. Since I've stopped, you ready for this? I've dropped 15 pounds.
Wow.
Okay.
I believe it.
In 3 months.
It's a great burger, but
ugh. But I had to rotate because I can't eat the same thing every time.
Mm.
But everything is so good there.
Yeah.
So
what else they have? They have like a Philly.
The Philly's amazing. The po' boy is amazing. There's nothing bad on that menu.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think. Yeah, if I go to Waffle House, I get the same thing every time. If I go
All-Star?
No. We'll actually hold that thought. We'll get to Waffle House is a part of this podcast, but we'll get to that later.
I hear they're doing a beer concept now.
Well, it's clickbait, bro. It's not that's the thing. Is that cuz here's I'm known as being a Waffle House guy, so anything happens,
right.
Shooting spree at the Waffle House, the beer thing.
Yeah.
The guy that made himself his own food, like 20 people tagged me on Facebook and sent me the article. So I, of course,
always the first to know.
Well, I appreciate it, but it's like a week later. It's like, yeah, 10 people sent me this already. I appreciate it though. They're thinking of me when they think of Waffle House, they think of me. But it's at the ballpark.
Yeah,
it's at the ballpark, and so they're gonna
SunTrust Ballpark.
Yes,
gotcha.
So they're gonna serve from the tap, and you can get your Waffle House. So that's all it is. It's just it's not Waffle House is starting to sell beer.
It's more like a collab or something. Or
but you see what I'm saying?
Next to each other,
right? But like, it's. But that, I hate clickbait. You know what I mean? I'm a guy who writes as part of what I do for a living, and I'm morally opposed to it. So then I click it, and it's like, oh, that's not what this headline says. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I thought they were gonna have that like next to their coffee and their orange juice.
Exactly, exactly. Right. So,
which I thought was gonna be weird because it's just the wrong crowd most of the day, and then when it gets to be the right crowd, it's after hours, and you couldn't serve it anyway. And
right.
Anyway.
So you're having the long line. Okay, that's success.
It's great. Yeah.
Right. But how else did you want to grow? Like.
So it was interesting. Kind of the start to that spot was all the stuff I said about buddies. But then we also painted a big mural up there on the side of the dry cleaner at the corner. And so that was our first King of Pops mural. It's like 20 by 20, I think. And so we painted that before we ever showed up. So people were just like, what the hell is this?
Oh, and who's – and sorry, and who's who was the name? Who came up with the name of the three?
King of Pops?
Yeah.
So that was a Facebook group that was created, and it was a vote amongst several pop names. Some of the losers were El Pobre Diablo, which means the lucky devil.
Okay.
Tres Hermanos for Three Brothers, Pop with a period after it, all lowercase, because that was kind of like, you know, hip at the time.
Right. Glad you didn't go with that one.
Frozen Man was one of them.
Frozen Man,
uh-huh.
As opposed to Burning Man.
Yeah.
Got it.
Exactly. Or some other one. I think Pops was one. Pop and Pops. those are the main ones I can remember. But yeah, King of Pops came around, and you know, some homage to Michael Jackson, and then some just like, we're gonna claim this thing.
I was gonna ask if you heard from Michael Jackson's people.
Never heard from him, and I actually heard they ran his estate and his trademark and copyright stuff from Atlanta, from a law firm here. But
well, interestingly, no. But interestingly enough, he gave himself that name. Remember,
right?
So, which is, I'm always a little whatever. Like, if you get, like, Elvis was the king because he was the fucking king. Elvis didn't say that about himself.
Right.
Michael said, I'm the king of pop. And I love Michael.
Right? So, are you saying that since we named ourselves the king of pops, that we are truly not the king of pops?
No, you're a company. You're allowed to call yourself whatever you want.
Okay.
But I'm saying in history.
Yeah. You don't just get those titles.
So you're just as entitled to it as he is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, sure. I think also he had the copyright for maybe apparel and music. And we have it for frozen confection.
Are you being serious?
Serious.
So you're King of Pops TM.
Yep. Got it. Lots of TMs, actually.
Do you have, is there a lot of theft of IP going on around there?
King of Pops? Yeah. So we had someone try and start one in San Francisco about 3 or 4 years ago that we had to send some cease and desist letters to.
Different logo, and they just thought maybe they hadn't heard of you, because that's possible. You're not that big of a deal, right? It's possible they wouldn't.
It's possible.
But with Google, I suppose,
yeah,
they'd have to know. Yeah. So what did they say? Did they just go away, or did they say sorry?
No, they just kind of went away. Never responded. Then either they stopped doing it, or their business failed, or something.
But they were trying to sell popsicles out of a cart.
Yep, exactly. Rainbow umbrella, chalkboard.
Same logo.
No, it was a slightly different. I think it was kind of like a cursive thing or something. I can't really remember.
I still don't know why someone would do that and think they can get away with it, though. Again, if there wasn't the internet, you wouldn't find out.
Right. I mean, it's the same thing that happens, I guess, all the time in all types of businesses.
Yeah, but in certain businesses, you can see, like, if I want to bootleg movies or videos, like, and I'm at the gas station,
sure,
nobody from fucking Disney is going to ever find out about it.
Yeah.
That, so there's that. But the idea of launching a company similar to yours, that seems like silly.
Until they do find out. I mean, so we used to have a tagline on this. This is actually our old logo, but it used to say handcrafted popsicles below King of Pops. And so Popsicle is owned by Unilever. And so they troll everybody real hard. So we've gotten probably, I don't know, 10, 12, 100 cease and desist from Unilever for either saying the word popsicle or creamsicle or fudgesicle or any kind of sickle, shot sickle at our bar.
Hasn't somebody approached the government and said, you can't be this now? Like,
yeah, so that's interesting. From like the legal side of things, they get it and they get to maintain it as long as they're actively protecting it and using it. So they're actively using it. They're actively protecting it. And until someone like me cares enough to take them to court to say that this is a generic term and prove it, the burden would be on me to prove that it's generic, not on them to defend it. So I would have to do that with like maybe focus groups or maybe like surveys or I don't know, just experts, whoever, linguistic experts. So it'd be on me to prove it. And I don't have an extra $1 million laying around for that.
Right. Because there are other terms that are owned, but everybody kind of, or at least off the top of my head, that everybody like knows that there's actually a company, right?
So you know what a really cool one is, or an interesting one anyway, is superhero. So nobody can use that. That is a trademark registered term by Marvel and DC. They share that.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, because when I was little, right? So the big ones when I was little were Kleenex,
yeah.
Xerox, but nobody says make me a Xerox anymore anyway.
Yeah.
But the ones that you learn are like, oh, did you know Zipper is one?
Band-Aid.
Band-Aid's a really good one. Oof. So they're holding on tight to that one.
Yep.
So what are they?
Johnson & Johnson.
Johnson, that's absolutely Johnson & Johnson. So I'm trying to think what else they call it then. What do they call it?
Like adhesive bandage.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
Bandit, that's a huge one. But like you wouldn't think Zipper is one. There's another big one that you wouldn't think.
Zipper, YKK?
I think so. YZZ, whatever they are.
Yeah.
But but nobody knows Popsicle is.
Mm.
Nobody knows that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was funny. We got served once with a cease and desist letter, like a hand-served one. And then they bought like pops for their office, the lawyer serving the cease and desist letter.
So let's back up, though. Yeah. When you start, of course you don't know that because nobody knows it. But when you did then start to grow as a company, did you go, okay, we should really try to avoid putting any of our literature, or you just don't care, let them send you silly letters?
So it didn't like hit us hard enough where we did or didn't care. It was kind of like just a non-issue. Like, as far as our logo goes, it probably looked less good or less professional with that, you know, subtitle anyway, or tagline or whatever. So we just took it off and knew that people could figure it out by the giant popsicle picture that's next to the words King of Pops, you know? So we just went ahead and did it. And we thought at the time, our company has always been about brand. And I mean, our product is super important. We're very proud of it, but our product or our company is about brand, you know? We're about building community. We're about making a difference where we are and becoming the lifestyle or the first thing that, you know, people think of when they think of Atlanta potentially, you know?
I'm guessing, and again, 2010, I'm now sitting right where the sun is. So I'm going to move this
chair. Yeah, get the heck out of there.
If you touched my chair right now, it's like 1,000 degrees.
We don't have everything quite worked out here yet, but you know, we're getting there slowly.
No, I'm sure the next time I visit you in a couple of years, this room's going to be pimped out and it'll be a whole thing. I just like to...
It'll be like the MailChimp meeting rooms. Those are pretty sweet if you haven't been in there.
Well, apparently he's very, very selective. Mr. MailChimp?
Yeah.
Ben something? Do you know him?
Yeah, I've met...
Do you guys have secret meetings?
No.
Of all the big Atlanta brands?
Yeah. It's like us and Home Depot and Coke and MailChimp. That's right. Pretty much it.
Right.
Maybe Waffle House.
I forgot who I reached out to over there, and they just said that he doesn't like to do a lot of and it's
interviews or talk,
right? But and like if they do that, they're going to direct you to like some PR person. I don't want to interview that guy.
Sure,
I don't want to. Although did I? Oh, that actually that I said that like to a Waffle House guy.
Yeah,
and he was the PR guy, so now I'm screwed
because I was like, probably aren't getting in there.
I was like, I don't want to talk to the PR guy. He's like, I'm the PR guy.
Did you
like,
get Arthur Blank yet? I know you mentioned that earlier.
Arthur's at the top of the list. No. I did meet Usher's manager. No, I met Usher.
Yeah.
Who, like, just really quickly down at the market. Apparently, he's there all the time.
Oh, wow. The market being Krog?
I'm sorry, Krog Street Market. Yeah. I call it the market because it was the one that I always visited. I'm not a Ponce fan.
Oh, wow.
That's a
big divide, huh, between the two.
Isn't there?
That mile of... space in between. Mile of Beltline in between is a long, long ways to cover.
But... From a vibe and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Perspective. That's I know you guys are vibe. Big over there. I know you have a
We're big at both of them. We like both of them.
Yeah, but I don't think of seeing a King of Pops cart. I think of seeing a King of Pops right where that big sign is that says Ponce City Market. I don't think of seeing one. You guys did a free giveaway, though, the other day.
Oh, yeah.
It was, what was it? Popsicle Day?
It's kickoff day. That's our. We do it every year. So April 1st for our birthday. Our
right.
anniversary, we always give away Pops every year.
Right.
Yep. So it's funny, our first year we did that, or I guess our first birthday we did that, our second year. Steve and I went on a surf break, so we were gone probably for a month or two down in Mexico just surfing, hanging out, and got back and we're like, do you think people are still going to buy these popsicles? This is after like the first summer that was, you know, just a hustle and amazing and didn't know what we were doing, trying to keep our heads above water. So when people started buying them again the next year, I think it was like middle of March or something, we were just like, wow, we have something. But I guess the point is on April 1st, we wanted to do an April Fool's joke. And we said free ice pops for the whole city. And at that point, we were only at like two spots. So you had to come to us to either Buddy's or maybe Decatur Square at that point. And so we made a whole bunch of pops that were just like frozen water and put sticks in them and gave people ice pops. And some people liked the joke. Most people didn't. But if they liked the joke, we gave them a regular pop, whatever they wanted. And if they were a good sport about it, if they weren't, then like, yeah, get out of here.
Right.
So it was pretty hilarious. And then that kind of turned into a real thing. We were giving away regular King of Pops every year for our birthday since
right.
then.
So we were, this is where we got completely off track, was the question about flavor. So the one that I typically get, and it's funny because I'm going to get it wrong now, is there like a cookies and cream?
There is. You nailed it.
Because you know,
with chocolate chip cookies though, not Oreo.
But I'm saying, but like, you know how you guys get super creative, it might not be cook because cookies and cream sounds like a trademark flavor, by the way.
Who do you think would own that? The cookie company?
Cookies and cream. Whoever nailed that one first, Baskin Robbins, maybe?
Right. Yeah. So I know Oreo cares if you put like their stuff in it and put them on the label. But It's pretty cool. We just started a new cookies and cream collab with H&F Bakery. So they make all of our chocolate chip cookies.
But let's back up a little bit. So once you learn the term popsicle is trademarked,
yeah.
These other phrases, these other ice cream-ish phrases, do you, like cookies and cream, Rocky Road. I'm trying to think, like, do you think, okay, we don't want to...
Moose Tracks.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. It was when I was growing up. I remember it. It was like little peanut butter cups with chocolate ice cream and maybe caramel or something. It was very delicious.
Anyway, you do have a cookies and cream one.
We have a cookies and cream. It's very popular.
And is there a red one? What's the red one? The raspberry-ish
red
one?
Red would be the raspberry lime or strawberry lemonade. Not sure which.
I think
raspberry lime is a little more sour. Strawberry's a little sweeter.
I think I like strawberry then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably what I'll get. That's probably what I'll get. If I see it, that's probably what I order.
Unfortunately, if you're going off the line, you don't have a lot of choices. We're only producing like 2 to 3 flavors a day down there. So.
No, I mean when I'm out in the world.
I thought you were ordering what you wanted to pull off the line later.
No, I saw that it wasn't 1,000 flavors going on down there. I meant just like what kind of – I'm not very –
adventurous.
I don't know. Maybe as I get older, that happens. That you're just like, I don't want to risk it not being good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Which is interesting. So we have a flavor guarantee. I don't know if you know about that.
I do not.
It's a sticker on every cart. You can read about it or see it. But if you don't like it, we have a policy. We'll give you another one for free. So it's kind of to encourage people like you to maybe try the Thai tea or the grapefruit mint.
You should tell your
pineapple habanero or whatever it is.
You should tell your slingers this.
Oh, they know it.
I mean, I don't think nobody's ever told me that. I've been to a handful of carts.
Have you gone up though and confidently said I'd like strawberry lemonade, or have you gone up and said I'm kind of torn between blah 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 blah?
I'm always torn.
I know, but do you convey that message?
I think I express it, because I think every time it's like I've never been to one before. I go, man, I want to try these, but I kind of like that one.
Yeah. Well, I guess we either need better training or something. I'm sorry. Sorry your experience wasn't all that it could have been.
It's okay. What do you look for in a slinger?
In a slinger, I think it's mostly about personality and about someone who will go out there and be bubbly, have something to say to anyone that walks up. We have people that like perform magic tricks or play the ukulele on the cart. So I think like having a small talent or interest at the cart that they can talk about or do, I think that's always pretty fun. And then people that obviously can... multiply 3 times a couple of different numbers is helpful.
Well, here's something interesting that I just thought of, because my wife actually just started working after being gone a long time. We were talking about the concept of like going to the bank at night. And once upon a time, you'd probably be going to the bank with a lot of money. And
cash
now,
dollars. Yeah.
Right? And now it's not. So now I assume you send them out with very little cash, zero cash?
We send them out with cash, but yeah.
But in 2010, you had to send them out with way more cash.
Yeah.
Do you need to make change and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, change is always an issue, right? So, you know, if everyone walks up with a $20 bill, so you go to these music festivals, people go to the ATM right before they come, so everyone just has 20s, and we're selling a $3 product, so every person is getting back $17 in change. So, yeah, you have to have like $500 in change or something like that to make it through the day.
Right.
Which is crazy. And now, yeah, you're right. We can take Apple Pay and all the fancy stuff like that.
Do you charge extra to swipe the card?
Huh. Same price.
That's what it should be.
Yeah. I mean, it's annoying to see that we're paying more. We're paying that extra 3%. But at the end of the day, the customer experience is much more important than the 3 cents
right.
or 6 cents.
Right. Exactly. And I want to be able to just swipe and be able to deal with it. I don't want you to tell me like, hey, it's extra to...
Just deal with it or else mark the whole thing up.
Right.
And
but like,
probably
but like,
be fine too.
What's that?
Or just mark the whole thing up. You know, people who charge those fees, like... I was like, yeah, you should just charge more from the beginning for your product if you need to cover that cost, because I agree. As a customer, it's just annoying.
Right. It's like, you know, my local gas station, right? They're like, they don't want to pay unless you give them, right?
Right.
And it's like, dude, it's, are you serious? Like, it's
just,
it's pretty minimal.
Yeah.
It's a very 1990s mentality.
Right. Until you get to some of these business expenses. So if we put like a truck on a credit card or something like that, and then I can understand from the auto dealer's point of view, extra 3% on 10 grand is different than 3%
on
$3.
Of course. So, but I was starting to say, like, you're having long lines. I assume you start to get a little press. When does it start to, like, dawn on you that, like, we have a real success in our hands or a real, like,
yeah.
Was there a distinctive thing that happened? Did you get Did they put you on Adult Swim? I don't know what's happened.
I mean, the whole business has been an evolution, right? So Steve started it April 1st. I didn't join in until about 2 months later, full time. Like, I was kind of helping out nights and weekends whenever I could, but I was still prosecuting out in Gwinnett. So I finally decided,
sorry, I can't help you silly boys with ice cream. I've got to fight crime in Gwinnett County.
Exactly. Just trying to get all these bad guys off the streets.
Exactly.
It was mainly like the little Asian gangs out in Norcross and Duluth. They are troublesome. But anyway.
You've now offended all of my Asian listeners.
Well, I'm just saying, they probably agree with me.
If it's anything Atlanta is known for, it's tons of Asians.
Asian gangs. Oof.
Asian gangs.
But anyway, yeah, so I was out there, and I didn't join until about 2 months in. But I guess a couple of key moments in our history where I felt like we've been successful. The first one was hiring someone. So your first employee, where you have to give them a paycheck every 2 weeks,
right,
pay employment taxes for them and Social Security and all that stuff. Had no idea what that was all about, and we did that. The very beginning of our second year, we actually were kind of paying a guy cash, a couple of people cash, the end of the first year, and evolved to having a real employee the second year. So that was the Prince of Pops that I was talking about at the very, very beginning. And he stuck around with us for a long time. And that was one moment. I'd say the other moment was when we decided to try and do it outside of Atlanta. So our second city was Charleston, and did that with a buddy, Andy McCarthy, who is still up there running it, and that made it feel real. And so we tried to replicate the success in Atlanta in that city, and it spread out to several other cities in the South. And then the other thing, I guess, when you get to a point where you don't have to do everything or be involved in everything, so when you can afford to have, say, a bookkeeper or someone to do payroll that's not you, or not have to go and buy all the produce, but you can pay a Cisco or a produce supplier, you know, Royal or whoever it is, to bring the stuff to you instead. So all those like small steps like add up to be a lot over the years.
Right. And I think that's a problem. That's what businesses, that's there they fail, is they don't scale.
Yeah.
They become the biggest cog in the system, and they don't figure out how to make short or long-term investments either in themselves or labor or machinery or something to sort of make that leap.
Yeah. And for a business owner and a founder and like that whole class of people that don't want to let go, I certainly understand it. I'm really bad at it, but it is something that has certainly impacted our success, is being able to let go and trust people that you've hired, you've sought out, and that you know can do it better than you can do. You know, the only reason I did the accounting for the first 2 years was because I was maybe slightly more detail oriented than my brother. And that was kind of what it came down to. So
you're in how many cities
right now? Seven or eight, something like that, with carts, and then a lot more with in shops. So
when you say shops,
like Whole Foods or something like that, or other restaurants or urban markets or universities.
Am I allowed to ask you what kind of gross revenue your company does? Is that public knowledge?
I don't know if it is or not. I think we made about 2 million pops last year, something like that.
2 million pops?
Yeah.
But that's not like a dollar figure.
It's not a dollar figure. And our company is very interesting. I don't even, to be honest, know the dollar figure, because we have a lot of intercompany sales. The way we structured our business is, I think we're about 14 different entities, something like that. And
that's good. In case Uncle Sam comes, you can always scramble.
We sell between ourselves. So we have a production company as one entity. We have a distribution company as one entity. Each of the King of Pop cities are their own entity. We have a farm. We have a compost business. We have a Christmas tree business. We have a dog tree business.
A Christmas tree business?
Yeah. You don't know Tree Elves?
Is that the one in Little Five?
Nope. We deliver them. So we dress up as elves. I'm the biggest cute elf you'll ever see. My name is Chimney the Elf, come November. And we deliver Christmas trees to people's houses.
Because people don't want popsicles in the cold weather.
We're a very seasonal popsicle business. So that's one reason. The main reason, though, is around employees and retaining talent. And so when you're a seasonal company, really hard to retain talent and be able to pay payroll through the winter for us. And so it was the opposite season business, that we could keep great people in our business and keep them paid throughout the winter, so they would stick around for more than just a single year.
So I'm guessing.
We also love Christmas.
Okay. Hanukkah?
Hanukkah, love it. We don't have a delivery service for that yet.
Okay, maybe we can talk about that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Atlanta's a pretty big Jewish community.
Right. Yeah, we have been talking about getting or finding out how to, anyway, be a kosher product, which would be big, I think.
So August, September rolls around, the temperature starts dropping. How much are you watching the Farmer's Almanac or whatever?
So it's crazy this year. I don't know if you've noticed, and I don't know if you're a weather watcher or have any interest in weather or a gardener. Or
I'm like everybody in the world that I'm always like, wow, how is it cold? And fuck, now it's hot.
Yeah,
and I'm exactly. Like everybody.
Yeah. So for us, we've compared this year to last year, and our sales are down from last year. And we think it's based on the weather. So if you remember, over the past month, we've had weekends where it's either rained or been 50 degrees or whatever. And last year, it started getting warm like halfway through February and just stayed nice until Halloween.
Right.
So, we're definitely a weather-based business, definitely a seasonal business, and all those things.
Really so I'm guessing you can lock up X amount of carts at some point in the year. We got to keep some out because you might have a great weekend and you're just like, all right, well, it looks like it's going to be 70s or whatever.
We try. Yeah.
Go out, get out there.
Yeah. Go get out there to Piedmont Park. Get out there to Buddies. Get out there to the Beltline.
Like the Beltline, for example, do you not really bother with permits because no one's really watching yet over there?
Oh, they're definitely watching. I would say the Beltline is the most closely watched place in the city.
Oh, really? Yeah. Who is
the Beltline development?
Are they wearing uniforms?
Is that what it is?
Are they wearing uniforms?
I think it's the police. The police enforcement. So they march. Have you ever seen on the Beltline, they have the horses that walk up and down or the bikes or whatever?
I've seen a bike, but yeah. I just thought they were just kind of like there to like let you know, like, hey, there's police here.
I mean, so we used to be on the back of Parison Ponce. They have that little deck on mm-hmm. the back. And the Beltline owns the land all the way up to the edge of that deck. And so we had to have our cart and our chalkboard up on the deck because that's part of their property. But if you said anything on Beltline property, it's very quickly and strictly removed. So we couldn't put a chalkboard down on the Beltline or anything like that.
On the hottest days of the summer, you were in how many spots, do you think,
in Atlanta? Last weekend in Atlanta, we were in 52 last Saturday.
Jesus.
So that's a lot. We had 52 carts out, maybe not in 52 spots because
you might have two carts at one spot.
Yeah, exactly. So like Inman Park Festival, I think we had 5 carts at or something like that.
Right.
But, then we're at Avalon all the way up in Alpharetta or at something.
You're up in Alpharetta?
Oh, yeah. All over the place.
Where do you keep that cart?
Here.
Somebody's got to schlep up to Alpharetta?
Yep.
Who's got that shift? Is it
some lucky soul?
Is it board? How does that work?
Yeah, we have a big whiteboard. And we write them all on there. That's not how we do scheduling. We use computer tools. Deputy, if you know it.
No. That's great. So there's not a big board.
There is a big board. There is a physical big board, too, that's written on. And you'll see the writing is pretty big on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then as you get to Saturday, the writing gets very small.
All right. So you have how many full-time employees?
Full-time employees is around, I believe, 70, something like that.
And how many of those are the slingers?
Zero.
Zero?
Yeah.
So the slingers are all considered part-time contractors?
Yeah, they aren't contractors.
How do 70 people work in this building?
They don't. So that's our whole kingdom. So we have a farm. Our kingdom. We have people in Richmond and Charlotte and Charleston and Nashville.
What do you get on the... Wait, how did you... So you just had enough capital from the business to open a farm? Or you had to get loans?
We have a mortgage on it. So we have you'd have a mortgage on your house, but we don't have any business loans. So yeah, Steven and I started it. It's all bootstrapped, self-funded. No outside investment. So yeah, we're lucky.
You're amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Have you gotten calls from companies that you said we don't want to work with?
Sure. Like not provide them product or not take money from them.
I don't know. Like, the cigarette companies. I'm just throwing something out there.
Yeah. So we did. Probably a good example is Monsanto had a new line of seeds come out. They were supposed to be, I don't know if they were knockoffs or if they actually were heirlooms or what they were, but it was, the whole non-GMO thing and Monsanto being the big, bad, evil person, but they were trying to roll out this new line of seeds for a trade show and to show how great they were. They were going to give us watermelons raised with these seeds that we could freeze and they could give them away at a trade show. Said no thanks. And for us, that was probably 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago. I'm not sure. And that was, I think, $50,000 or something we just said no to. So I think it is tough to say no to something like that from a financial standpoint, but like from an ethical standpoint, it just felt like it was what we had to do and had to be true to ourselves and the business that we've created.
Do you get asked to speak to young entrepreneurs?
Yeah. Yeah. So Steven and I both do fairly often. That last speaking gig I did, this is pretty amazing that there this group even exists, but it's the group of, what do they call themselves? I can't remember. Commencement organizers, the university commencement organizers group or society or association or something. And so it's people who plan graduations at colleges all over the North America, I think it was. And Georgia Tech hosted it this year, and I went down there and spoke. And it was, I don't remember, it wasn't really about entrepreneurship. I don't remember what the speech was. It was always just kind of about King of Pops and just talking about inspiring people and doing the right thing and all of that kind of stuff. And yeah, but a totally random group like that. And it's everything from that down to kindergartners who want to go see our farm and pick basil and see where strawberries are grown and how they make it into a popsicle. So all ages,
you just
all
make
types.
It seems so easy, dude. You're this very laid back dude. Yeah, we bootstrapped it. We didn't really get any loans. We're just these easygoing guys and everything turns up roses for us.
Yep, that's what it's like being 6'3".
See? See?
Nah, I'm just kidding.
No, honestly, like, you know, I just think there's a lot of like, well, business is competitive and you've got to really, you know, grind your ass off and blah, 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 blah.
It's true. So the last 8 years, being a part of this business has probably ended several relationships for both my brother and myself because of the amount of time we've spent on it and right. The amount of effort we've given it and the amount of stress that it's had. So I think there's that side of it. There's the like the physical time side of it. So the first 2 years, it was definitely 7 days a week. We didn't have a day off where we weren't present in the company for like 2 years or something like that. And at that point, it was we had hired someone who was trusted enough to leave it with for a day for my mom's 60th birthday.
That was nice.
That was like the first time we went away since we had started the company. And now we're at a point, I think this is also just going back to evolution of business where, and what we were talking about earlier, you don't want to be so controlling and so hands-on and so micromanagerial or micromanaging that you're actually getting in the way at this point. So if I come in here on a Saturday, I don't know all the processes anymore, all the definite ins and outs or where we're going at any given time. And so if I try and help out, I'm more in the way than just like doing what I do on business development or on whatever else.
What is your title and roles now?
My roles are, so I'm the integrator, which is the leader of the leadership team. So I'm kind of in that seat. COO would be a comparable, I guess. So I make sure we're steering in the same direction as a company and as a leadership team and making sure that we're making smart choices for the future of our company and to stay on vision and on brand. And then I also sit in the sales manager seat at P10 Foods, which is our distribution business. So we distribute not only our own stuff at King of Pops, but we distribute about 15 other southern brands like Honeysuckle and Due South, which are down in the West End, I know you mentioned earlier. And then I also sit in kind of the development side of our brick and mortar bar business.
So these other companies, they come to you and say, hey, we got this cool product we want to get to people. You've already got the distribution. Would you help us? Is that how that goes?
Yep, exactly. So we were with some bigger distributors to start with to get our stuff to market in different places. We didn't like how they were doing business, so we decided to take that business back and do it ourselves. In order to do that, we want to fill trucks and need other people's stuff to help us fill our trucks and make it worthwhile. And so we focus on frozen and dry. We don't do any refrigerated right now. And have warehouses in Charleston, Charlotte, and Atlanta right now. So we're covering most of the South.
Do you get really scared when there are power outages?
Very scared. But fortunately, we have dry ice. We have thousands of pounds of dry ice at all of our places. So that's always our backup plan is to throw as much dry ice in the freezer as possible.
Before did you get screwed a couple times and lose lots of product before you were better prepared at it? Because we're not a city that it happens a lot, but it does happen.
I think the most pops we ever lost at once was like 22,000 or
something like that.
It's a lot of pops. And it's a huge, gross mess. But it's a lot of pops and dollars, too. Yeah, super disappointing, super sad.
Do you have any competition here?
Yeah, so since we've started, we've always had competition in Atlanta. So I think currently there's three other pop companies that I know of. But I would say over the past 8 years, there's been at least 10 more that have come and gone. And, you know, it's kind of going back to hustle and like really believing that you have something that can last and doing it with great people and then having more than just a product to sell, like being a brand behind that product and something that people can latch onto.
Isn't there, what did I see over there that's a little like right there on, not Parrish, but a little bit up, what road is that? Is that Highland?
Yeah, Highland. Queen of Cream.
Is she someone that you're related to or that she ripped you off or?
No, we're certainly not related to her. She was working at Pure, the taqueria right down the road.
Right.
And then she started making her stuff there in the back and I don't know, started that company and, none too happy with it at the time. It's kind of whatever now. Don't really care that much.
Because you're just so much bigger and whatever.
I mean that, but also it's just kind of like she's doing her thing. She does ice cream. We do popsicles, just a little bit different. It was interesting at the beginning. People would always come up and like, congrats on the new ice cream company and stuff like that. I was like, no, not us. Don't really know too much about it. But yeah, I don't really know too much about her business or anything like that.
You didn't reach out and say, hey, what gives?
Yeah, we did. We did ask whether she was going to keep that name or whether that was just kind of a working title, as
and,
it were.
And what was her response?
That's the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it wasn't close enough, like trademark-wise, for us to make too big of a deal about it. So, you know.
All right, you did instantly know who I was talking about. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So are you ready to take the end of the interview? Is the Atlanta Podcast Quiz?
Dun 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 dun.
The first question in the Atlanta Podcast Quiz is: are you ready for this?
Ready.
What is your go-to Waffle House meal?
Go-to Waffle House is chicken and eggs, and I have my grits scattered well covered.
Okay. What is your favorite restaurant in Atlanta?
Man, ever changing. I would say I really am enjoying the fried chicken at One-Eared Stag and the meat stack over there, so I go there a lot.
Where
so
is that?
One-Eared Stag. It's by the Inman Park MARTA station.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Check
okay.
it out.
Okay.
Burger and fried chicken. Being in the neighborhood, I'm very surprised you don't know.
Well,
they also have an oyster happy hour.
But I never left. That's the thing is, I would walk to the market. I would walk to Cruxy Market and eat at Fred's or Yala.
Yeah.
Once in a while, the...
this would be a nice walk for you. So you go up past Revolution. And,
but now I'm not there anymore, though. I'm working at home now.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I may be back over here. All Who right. knows?
Yeah.
What is the best concert you've seen in Atlanta?
Oh man, when Outkast came, was that 3 years ago? Their reunion tour at Centennial Park. That
right.
was pretty badass.
That's been mentioned a couple of times.
Yeah, that was good. I would say on the smaller scale, I once saw Phoenix, I believe, at Earl. And that was pretty rad. That was like before they were really big. So that was fun.
Rank these in importance to you personally. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Braves, Falcons, Hawks, United.
Probably just exactly opposite. So United's been a ton of fun the last 2 years. We have season tickets, King of Pop, so we like to bring our employees whenever we can.
Do you have a box?
We don't have a box.
Were you offered a box?
I don't know. My brother bought the tickets. I doubt it. I think we just were excited to have tickets.
Do you serve in there?
Serve pops?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
So we did for the first couple games, and then we got suspended from it, and we'll hopefully be back in about
because
a just went through a food safety issue in Charleston, and that affected it. So,
okay,
we're getting reacquainted soon.
Okay,
yeah.
So they're not mad at you per se. There was just something you needed to fix.
Yeah, they were just worried about PR from it. So
okay,
but it's fine.
Okay,
all is well.
Okay,
passing in the night.
Okay,
yeah.
Do you get first dibs on Super Bowl tickets?
No, but Super Bowl, I've heard that we need to start thinking about it now because that's going to be huge. We were in there for
you should start thinking about it now.
national championship, whenever that was.
The college thing?
Yeah, Georgia and Alabama. Right. So we served pops in that. I was up in the press box for it serving pops. So that is nice about being in the position that I am in the company. I can kind of pick and choose a few of those events still.
Nice. Nice. What's the best? This week?
Did I finish that question? So United, Falcons, Hawks, Braves.
Right. Yeah. This will be an interesting question for you. What is the best or your favorite festival in Atlanta?
Shoo-wee. I've been to all of them.
Right.
Lots of times.
Right. So that's why it's an interesting question for you.
So 420 was last week, and I would say when that was at Candler Park, it was amazing. Haven't really loved it since it's been at Centennial, so that's probably been 4 years now, 5 years, I can't remember. My favorite all-around festival, though, is... I really love the Little Five Halloween Parade. Tons of fun to get out there. And then... Decatur has some good festivals too. The Decatur Beer Festival. It's a lot of fun up on the square. I don't know. Those are some of my favorites. Do I have to have one?
No. You can name several. Okay. Finish the sentence. I take MARTA blank.
Regularly.
Makes you a rare bird.
Yeah. No, I actually bought my house in, I live in Edgewood, the neighborhood, not the road. So right by Little Five Points. And I bought that house strategically because I was in law school at the time. And so not only have ridden MARTA train regularly, but also the MARTA bus. So I rode the MARTA bus to college my first year and then the train the second and third years. And now I regularly take it to get downtown sporting events. But I'm like two blocks from the MARTA station out there, so it's great.
You commute to work by car, though, I'm assuming?
Usually bike, but sometimes car. I have to have a car on site so I can go to meetings and stuff because I have to go up to Buckhead or Dunwoody or something like that.
Right.
But, yeah, leave a car here, commute to work on bike.
Nice. Yeah. Who should I have next on the Atlanta podcast?
Oh, man, that's a great one. Unfortunately, I don't know all the people that you have had.
Just go ahead and name them, and if I've had them, I'll just say I'll be proud and be like, cool, I had that guy.
Have you had like any of the great bartenders that we have in our city, like Paul Calvert or Greg Best or any of those?
No one has mentioned those people.
Yeah, I think they would be a lot of fun. They've seen a lot of how the city has changed.
Okay.
So I'm kind of in the restaurateur and food world and entrepreneur world, so I think they'd be great. Have you had David Cummings, who built Atlanta Tech Village?
No.
He would be really good and interesting and have a different perspective perhaps on what the city is from an entrepreneurial standpoint.
I've thought like, oh, I'll definitely get people in that world, and I haven't really yet in kind of the startup tech world, because I know we have like a little happening scene going on.
Yeah, it's been cool. And Georgia Tech's been a big part of that. Kate Atwood, you know her?
Why is that name familiar?
She does Choose ATL and works with the Metro Chamber.
I might have reached out to her.
Yeah.
Already.
She's been doing cool things. She also has Kate's Club, which is for kids who have lost a parent at a young age. So
that's
a good nonprofit too. Those are some top of mind people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are all great suggestions. I forget. Do you remember who introduced us? I can't remember.
Jake, right?
Yes.
There you go.
Well, I know that we talked about that earlier, but I just forget. Yeah. Like,
I'm pretty sure he reached out and sent an email and introduced us.
Well, thanks, Jake, then.
And here we go.
Right, because I told you were at the top of the list. You want me to read it to you?
I do want to read it to you.
Yeah.
I think you'll laugh.
Already laughing.
Right? Well, I mean, it's just kind of like just the things that popped right off, right? And then there's people that have been like amazing that I never would have known.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I would have never known who they were, but
then once I was like people are like, oh, do you know so-and-so? It's like, okay, so here's the list. You ready?
Do it.
Atlanta interviews. Mike Vick,
mm-hmm.
Mayor, Matt Ryan, King of Pops, Arthur Blake, Ryan Gravel. And then I started writing like a bunch of restaurants that I would like it. Like I just gone to Butter and Cream. I was like, right. I'm gonna talk to that guy. The Sandwich Shop in Decatur. Jim Stacy, who I already had on.
Yeah.
Do you know who Chief Nakahoma is?
No, no idea. Oh, yeah, the Braves guy, huh?
Right. Blondie.
Yeah.
Baton Bob. Baton Bob I reached out to.
I met him once at, I was just talking about Kate's Club, at the Kate's Club gala like 2 years ago.
Right.
He's a riot.
Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
Kevin Kinney, who I've since reached out to, but I haven't got it yet. Anyway, so you're, I get to put you as a done.
Arthur Blank, check
Arthur,
it off.
Arthur Blank is next.
Check it off the list. I'm surprised there's no like hip hop stars on there.
Well, that's the thing, is that of course Ludacris is on there. I didn't read them all. I kind of skipped around a little bit because there's a bunch that like just as I thought
just
of it.
Just don't relate to me. You wouldn't want to let me know about. Yeah, I hear you.
I have a long list. I was just you were third. I knew you were up there early. But no. But here's the thing. So. Ludacris is like probably number one of the hip hop stars. Interestingly enough, the whole hip hop thing that happened was kind of when I was gone.
Right.
Like I know most of those artists by name, but I left in 96 and I didn't come back until 2007.
We decided,
so I kind of missed like where like Atlanta got to be like the shit for.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Right.
It's a big time.
I know. Well, I did. So Usher was at Krog Street Market. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I see a relatively famous person, if I'm going to approach them, I try to think of a way to do it that makes me not the most annoying person in the world.
Sure.
Right? If he's,
just like, ah.
Right? So he was just sitting there eating, and I just, you know, I just said, excuse me. I said, I run this show called the Atlanta Podcast, and I'd love to have you on. Who would I need to speak with if I were to make that happen? And he was like, email my guy. And he gave me the email address and he spelled it out for me.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm never going to hear back from this guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just what he does to get rid of people. And sure enough, the guy wrote me right back and said, he's in the middle of working on X, Y, and Z. Get back to us at the end of March.
Wow.
So I did. And then nothing's happened since, but I'll try again and we'll see. If I get Usher.
March isn't too long ago. Yeah.
Well, I think
not
he said.
Not in his world anyway.
Right. Well, and again, like the show isn't about like having the most famous people in the world.
Sure.
But having that, having a big name does help open other doors. Because it's like, well, Usher did it.
Yeah.
Right?
Now get on here, Arthur.
I assume you've met the Blanks, right?
I haven't. Nope.
You've not met the Blanks?
No way. That's Atlanta royalty right there.
Yeah, but you must get invited to like big stuff in the city.
I haven't seen those invites roll in yet. I mean, King of Pops does generally because
that's what I mean.
They want King of Pops there to be part of it, like in a catering or food sense. But it's less like we really want the owner guy to come. It's more about the brand.
Have you always been the guy that would do this, like sit down and talk to somebody?
Yeah, I try to as much as I can. Same as like going and talking to young entrepreneurs.
But like your brother, things. I'm saying he's like.
Just, he does too. Yeah, he would do it.
Okay,
you want to have him on next?
No, I just wish she were here so that we could say, hey, do you remember getting an Uber one night?
Yeah.
With two other guys, and one of them was you. Well, thanks for coming on the show, dude.
For sure. It's been a ton of fun.
Thank you so much for checking in, everybody. Sorry for the wait. I hate apologies and I hate excuses. And damn it, I tried not to say it, but I did. But listen, Nick, thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me try flavors. Maybe I'll come back. We'll talk some more. Upcoming episodes, guys. I usually don't do this either. I usually just like to surprise you with it, but I've had some really good stuff. So, number one, Molly from The Porter. She was awesome. That's coming up. OK Cello, also coming up. Already recorded. Who else did I record? Bunch of other stuff. Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Tell a friend. Listen, that's what you can do for me. Tell a friend. I apologize. I really do. Go tell a friend about the Atlanta Podcast. Okay, bye.